Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. We will be joined by the choir of Word of Life Lutheran School in St. Louis, Missouri for National Lutheran Schools Week today. The text is Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 28. The Reverend Mark Raby is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Good morning. It is National Lutheran Schools Week. So today and each day this week, we'll have a group with us to help us celebrate as we give thanks and praise to God for 1,855 Lutheran schools, 21,345 educators, and 180,000 students, some of which you see right here with us today. So today we welcome Word of Life Lutheran School from St. Louis, the choir, who is with us today under the direction of Mr. Gabriel Michael. What a joy to have them kick off National Lutheran Schools Week.
A reading from Genesis 24. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he had, "Put your hand under my thigh, that I may make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but will go to my country and to my kindred and take a wife for my son Isaac." The servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman may not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I then take your son back to the land from which you came?" Abraham said to him, "See to it that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and who spoke to me and swore to me, 'To your offspring I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this oath of mine. Only you must not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all sorts of choice gifts from his master. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made the camels kneel down beside the city by the well of water at the time of evening, the time when women go out to draw water. And he said, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming down to draw water. Let the young woman to whom I shall say, 'Please let down your jar that I may drink,' and who shall say, 'Drink, and I will water your camels,' let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master." Before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her water jar on her shoulder. The young woman was very attractive in appearance, a maiden with whom no man had known. She went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please give me a little water to drink from your jar." She said, "Drink, my lord." And she quickly let down her jar upon her hand and gave him a drink. When she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also, until they have finished drinking." So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water, and she drew for all his camels. The man gazed at her in silence to learn whether the Lord had prospered his journey or not. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing half a shekel and 2 bracelets for her arms weighing 10 gold shekels and said, "Please tell me whose daughter you are. Is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" She said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor." She added, "We have plenty of both straw and fodder and room to spend the night." The man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord and said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his steadfast love and his faithfulness toward my master. As for me, the Lord has led me in the way to the house of my master's kinsmen." Then the young woman ran and told her mother's household about these things. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we were to take one thing from today's scripture reading in Genesis chapter 24, it would be the biblical teaching about providence, about God's divine providence in orchestrating things to come to pass. It's a teaching we see in St. Paul's letter to the Romans, for example, in Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to those who love God. This working together that God works throughout history, throughout historical events, under his divine direction, it's a mystery. We would not know it unless God showed it to us. It's a mystery in two senses. First, providence is a mystery in the sense that it's beyond our understanding. Namely, it's beyond our scope of thought, beyond our comprehension. We only come to know it by faith. And God reveals it to us through his word. Yet it's a providence revealed by God's intervention into the structure of history. And for this reason, Scripture never attempts to explain it, but merely affirms it. And second, divine providence is a mystery in the sense that we are initiated into it. It's made accessible as we read and hear the Scriptures, as we begin to have that divine privilege when we hear the Word, when we read the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit enables us to understand it. And as Scripture unfolds the events, we come to see God's providential handiwork in setting into course history. For this reason, Scripture not only affirms it, but portrays this mystery through various events in Scripture or narrative. An example would be Joseph, who we'll encounter later in Genesis. This providence that God directs in his life is perhaps the most elaborate example. We do not discern how, in the events of Joseph's life, that all things work together for the good of those who love God, but the Scriptures, that narrative in the Scriptures, enables us to perceive it, to understand that account as it unfolds for us, in seeing how this story that God is orchestrating these events in Joseph's life. And the result is that at the end of the Scripture narrative there, and in Genesis 45, we're able to say with Joseph, "So now it was not you who sent me here, my brothers, but God." Another way in which the Spirit inspired the human authors to convey God's providential purpose in a biblical story is to place the affirmation of God's providence in the mouth of one of those in the story. This is what we see today in Scripture. We see this in the courting of Rebecca. In this beautiful account of God's historical intervention and being faithful to his covenant promise, but this historical intervention in response to a prayer of Abraham's servant. We note two things. First, the story is repeated. We hear it twice. There's teaching going on here. God wants us to pay attention. But initially, it's by the narrator, the first 26 verses of our text. And then a second time, by a character within that narrative, namely Abraham's faithful servant, which comes after our text, so you'll have to read this after the service, in Genesis 34-48. There's a deliberate repetition of the story that compels us to think more deeply. Ha, maybe something deeper is going on here. I think I better pay attention. God is doing something significant. So in the first telling, as we heard it earlier, we're struck by how quickly the servant is there praying, and the answer is heard. It happened before he finished speaking. And the promptness of God's response is emphasized in the second telling later, when he recounts it to those there. Before I finish speaking in my mind, God did something. God is encountered in that servant's experience of the event that comes crashing in, as it were, in the midst of prayer. And then another thing. The repetition or the doubling of the narrative is not unnatural in any way. It's essential and motivates Rebecca and her family to the response they will give in their decision that Rebecca should go back and accompany this servant to Abraham's home and be the wife of Isaac. They recognize God's hand in this event. They're made aware that God has spoken through the narrated events of the servant. They perceive God's providence, God's direction in this, that God is doing this. They say, as Scripture records, the command comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either good or bad. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go and let her be your Lord's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. The event in and of itself is a word from God for those in the narrative and also for you. So given is the servant's testimony, it was clear that in all things God had worked together for good those who love God. This Epiphany season, we're mindful that again and again God makes known his intentions, he does through his word, that just as his handiwork that is seen in the life of Joseph or the servant or Isaac or Rebecca and others, that handiwork ultimately has a purpose in bringing forth the Messiah who would suffer and die on the cross for you and for all people, and that by faith in him, we'd have life eternal. And so we pray through this season of Epiphany, we would have ears to hear and eyes to see that that hand of God's mercy and his handiwork of providence. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.